The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA. I don't know if this is like owners talking to players or players talking to owners.
Well, it depends who you talk to. Lately, it's like this whole player empowerment, so maybe it's the players talking to the owners.
True.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is NBA chatter straight after the NBA deadline, which if you're on our Facebook page, you would have seen constant updates of what I predicted. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I said it might be a fun saying it before it happened on our last NBA pod that it might be an actual fun NBA trade deadline. And boy, it was a fun trade deadline.
Yeah, there was sort of plenty of player movement, but no earth shattering trades or anything of that. I guess you could say that that Orlando are on the tank at the moment. They've just decided to just shunt everybody that's worth anything out of their team at the moment and not getting a whole lot back in return. So, I guess that was sort of the big thing. And that was some of the first moves that were being made as well. So Orlando were extremely, extremely active throughout this deadline period.
Well, I mean, to me, you could see it was going that way, and it became sort of real when on Terrence Ross's Twitter account, I don't know if you've seen it, where he put up that gif of you seen that movie Captain Phillips, where that Bakari or something, where he goes, "I'm the captain now." That's awesome. Oh, no, I laughed at that a hell of a lot. look, I mean, it's clearly obvious they're in full tank mode. They traded their three starters at the end of the day. So I guess we start with them, with Orlando. The first sort of trade, was it the first trade the Aaron Gordon trade, or was the Vucevic trade?
Nah, the Aaron Gordon trade didn't come till a lot closer to the actual deadline time of, I think it was 3 p.m. Eastern their time. The first one that I saw that come across was the Vucevic Al-Farouq Aminu, which I didn't realize was at Orlando, to Chicago for Otto Porter Jr., Wendell Carter, and two first rounders. So,
which are top four protected, just to throw that in there, which is
interesting. Yeah, I mean, Chicago, they're not sort of anywhere near being that the very top of the lottery. So,
no.
A little bit of luck for them to get those, or to have those top four protections come into play. But I was a little confused at this. If you just want to go on just resumes, obviously Vucevic is a two-time All-Star and a 24 and 11 guy. And I guess it's that sort of situation for me where it's like, okay, it's Orlando. Somebody's got to get the points. But he is I've sort of heard things out there that he's a little bit of a stat padder. But it is what it is. Like, you know, he's in the situation. He was drafted. He's been in Orlando his whole career.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. Like, could they build around him properly, or they just couldn't get enough star power around him for Orlando to make any noise?
And that's how I took it. He was the best player in an NBA team, and he should be the second or third best player in an NBA team.
There's 30 teams out there, so there's always going to be lopsidedness in, you know, who's going to be the best player. Like you said, you know, have a look at a team like Cleveland or somebody like that. Like, somebody's got to get the stats. Somebody's got to put up the numbers.
But that's what I'm saying. He shouldn't be your superstar best player. And that's just, I'm just purely just going on his skill set. I think he's a great player. I think he's actually both these ways, to be honest. I thought this was a pretty good trade. I thought Chicago did well. You know, they
really did great out of this.
Really didn't have to get up much. But then, I'm still a big Wendell Carter fan, personally. I think he's still got something. He's still young. He's yes, he lost his starting job, but he's and those, you know, yes, maybe not the next year's pick, but the year after, if Chicago, they've still got Zach LaVine's contract out there, they Laurie Markkanen's contract, they've got to decide what they're doing there. You know, in a couple of years they could that could be a lot of, you know, a bit of a lottery pick, I suppose.
Well, but, Laurie Markkanen was rumored to be on the move as well, and he didn't get moved out from Chicago. Yeah, so I was a little surprised that this deal didn't have that in it.
Yeah.
You know, it did have Otto Porter Jr. and Wendell Carter in there. Look, I guess for me the jury's out on Wendell Carter. I don't think he sort of lived up to any kind of potential to me. And it's, you know, it's I guess it's sort of a, it might be a Blue Devils thing, but to me he's like a Marvin Bagley Jr., who's also a former Blue Devil. They just haven't lived up. To expectations. Like, for the draft pick that was spent on them, they just haven't lived up to expectations. And granted, Marvin Bagley's been hurt. Wendell Carter was hurt in his rookie season.
Yeah, correct.
So it's been a question of durability for those guys.
The next one that did go, sorry, Aaron Gordon was after, right, was Fournier. He went to the Boston Celtics, which, if I'm reading into it correctly, they only got Orlando picked up 2 second-round picks for it, but if I'm reading into it correctly for your side of it, you like that trade, especially for the Celtics, I should say.
For the Celtics, they got him for an absolute steal. You've got him as a rental for the end of the year. He's on the final year of his 5-year contract that he signed. It was $85 million, which, oof, whether you want to say, is a little overpriced for Evan Fournier. I actually like Evan Fournier and what he can bring to a team. Once again, he's one of those kind of guys where that's who Orlando hitched their wagon to as well. You know, star-wise, you know, he's made the French national team. Like, he's a good player. I like what he does, but he's going to sort of bolster, I guess, Boston's bench a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what they've been sorely needing. They're needing a little bit of extra firepower there, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown looks like they're just wearing down as the season goes on. They just can't keep up these Herculean efforts to keep Boston in games. Like, okay, they've got Marcus Smart back now. So that'll sort of take a little bit of the burden away, scoring burden away and defensive burden away. But, you know, to have Evan Fournier, somebody like that, to come off the bench, I guess, is not quite as good as Gordon Hayward, but at least he can give you a little bit of scoring punch. And that's what the league is now.
And then the third, obviously, big one, depending on how you look at it, Aaron Gordon was traded. Could have went a couple of ways, but he ended up going to the Denver Nuggets for Gary Clark. Aaron Gordon and Gary Clark were traded to Denver for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a 2025 first round pick.
Yeah, 2025. Like, how far in advance are we allowed to go? Did I see ones that were 2027? Like, what the hell? Like, surely the NBA has got to come out and put restrictions on how far in advance you can give away draft picks, because that's ridiculous.
I thought there used to be. I thought you can only go so far. Yeah, I thought you can only go so far, to be completely honest. I thought there was like a 2 or 3 year rule. But, I mean, clearly that's not the case if you're getting a 2025 first rounder.
I saw a 2027 one.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is Magic sort of basically putting their hands up in the air and saying, we're probably going after Cade Cunningham. We're in full tank mode. We're going to start again. On the other side,
they're 15 and 30, right? So they're not as if they're actually, you know, total bottom feeders at the moment. I guess they're sort of banking on that we're just going to go on an epic losing streak, and we're going to be in, in that sort of top three, top four range in the draft. Like, they could go up to somebody like Luka Garza, like, who's, you know, the kid from Iowa. There's sort of big raps on him. So yeah, and that's the other one is Cunningham. So they're trying to just go all in on the draft and get a super high draft pick.
And what about the other side? How do you think Aaron Gordon will fit in with the Nuggets, with Jokic, with Murray, with Michael Porter Jr., who stayed there?
I have no idea. I don't get that. Can Aaron Gordon play a little bit of small ball? Can he play the three? Like I have no idea how that's going to fit. Like Michael Porter Jr., you know, is he a three? Is he a four? I personally prefer him to be a four.
I think he is. Personally.
I think he's a little bit sort of a little bit too big to play the three, you know, as a permanent position. I think Aaron Gordon's in the same boat. So it's, I mean, where do they fit? Do they go uber big if they want to put him in the starting lineup and put Michael Porter Jr. at three and Aaron Gordon at four, Jokic at five? I'm not 100% sure sort of where their thinking is. I think they just seen something in Aaron Gordon, and there was rumors floating around that multiple teams were interested in him, and I'm not so sure this was the best deal they could have got. Like Orlando, do you know what I mean? Like as in, back and forth. Like there's got to be some sort of compromise with the other side, and we can't just give him away for peanuts.
Correct. I think they got 45 cents in the dollar, to be completely honest, if I'm looking at it in terms of dollar for dollar.
They got 10 cents for the dollar for the Evan Fournier trade.
Exactly.
Two second round picks, they're nothing. They're nothing. Yeah. They're things you can throw away later on. Like you just, second round picks are worthless.
Late
first round picks are worthless.
Tell that to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But anyway,
tell that to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Look, RJ Hampton might turn out to be a good player. Gary Harris was a good player. Yeah, but yeah, no, look, they didn't win the trade. I exactly going back to what you said. I see Porter as a three, a very tall three, and then I think Aaron Gordon is a four, just for his size and frame. It'll be interesting to see. Well, it might be good because he might just play pick and rolls. I mean, he's got Jokic. He could just play straight pick and rolls off, or at least space the floor a bit. So it's not bad. I think he's an upgrade like to what they have. I don't know if that then pushes them into that, you know, championship caliber sort of.
No, if anything, it sort of. Not so much takes away a little bit, but Gary Harris is an above average 3-point shooter, so you're losing that. So that's the thing. It's now you're going to have to rely more on guys like Murray and even Jokic to a certain extent to sort of spread the floor there. You know, I think Michael Porter Jr. is starting to shoot a little bit better from 3-point range as his career starts to go on, but. That's the thing that you need to sort of spread the floor a little bit, and I'm always been an advocate of that, spreading the floor and inside outside, have a good post presence, and then you know either have drive and kick or post and kick type play where you can get those nice wide open threes. You know, you're not always going to get that, but in the way that we have shooters in the league these days. Wide open threes are the best ones that you can have. They're always the best shot that you can have. How many shooters that teams have on their roster these days? You could be an average 3-point shooter, but you could be a 50-55% shooter, you know, as a wide open shooter, and that's a good shot.
I think, Aaron Gordon's clearly an upgrade from Paul Millsap, so that sort of helps for them, clearly.
In athleticism-wise, and you know, obviously Aaron Gordon's a lot younger than Paul Millsap, so I guess they're sort of banking on him to be there for the future as well. So, you know, Millsap, I think he's only on a year-to-year deal at the moment, so whether or not they're sort of seeing the writing on the wall there that he may pull the pin after this year, or just depends on how well Millsap is feeling. He might be able to pick up with another team.
They also, I skipped past it, but they also, and we'd have to go over the trade, but they picked up JaVale McGee too in a trade. So
I guess that's sort of Spider-Man meme, I think, a little bit with, you know, him going back to Denver after a few years now. So, you know, Spider-Man meme sort of pointing at each other going, hey, that's me. Hey, that's me. Hey, look at me. I'm back in Denver again. That'll be the same sort of thing. He'll get, you know, 10, 11 minutes a game. I don't know what that is.
That's just depth. I think they've got some nice depth there now.
A rim runner. Good teams have rim runners. So
yeah.
I guess all that is.
Next sort of trades. I'm just sort of going along with the trades. The Heat picked up Sacramento. Nemanja Bjelica from the Kings. So. I think that was just a sort of a small trial. They got the Kings will get Mo Harkless and Chris Silva for Bjelica, who's not a bad complimentary piece.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind that deal. Bjelica will definitely help out the Heat big wise, and he can sort of stretch the floor a little bit too. So and he's a decent rebounder. So I guess that's sort of a little bit of backup help for Bam there. Yeah. I guess. Miami were a little bit sort of active. I don't think they were as active as what a lot of people thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to be in on a lot of stuff, but yeah, they didn't sort of make any. And we'll talk about the Depot deal in a minute, I guess. But I think that was probably the biggest one, I think, out of the deadline day deals. But yeah. There was obviously a few teams that were in on Oladipo as well. I think the Knicks were definitely in on trying to get Victor to New York, but that didn't happen. So, this is just not a bad sort of trade for complimentary, like you said, complimentary pieces just being exchanged there by Miami and Sacramento.
The next trade. So the Knicks were involved in a 3-team trade with the 76ers and then the Thunder. So the 76ers end up getting George Hill, and forward. I'm not going to try to say his name, but the Knicks.
Iggy Brodzagas. Come on, man. He's a Michigan boy. Iggy Brodzagas.
The Knicks got, Terrence Ferguson, and the Thunder got, Knicks guard Austin Rivers, 76ers center Tony Bradley, another second round pick in 2025 from the Sixers, and then two second round 2025 picks. So got that. So if I looked at it correctly, they now have now in the 2025 they have 34 picks,
something like that.
34 picks in for 3 years.
And that's fine, and that's all well and good, but how much value do they actually have?
Exactly,
like that's
right.
That's the problem. Like, it just depends on where those picks are coming from as to how much value they have. It's all well and good to have them sitting in the bank, but
yeah,
it's once they start to engage other teams with deals, and they go, hey, look at all these picks that we've got, and they're going to go, wow, they're going to be, you know, between picks 20 and 30, that's not worth a whole lot. So
yeah,
it's all well and good that Sam Presti's gone out there and doing all these deals and getting all these draft picks, but it just depends on where they're coming from. So
You're
not hearing, you know, in these deals, you're not hearing a lot of protections in them. So that means that they're done with teams that aren't going to be high in the lottery or, you know, high in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. The next trade was the Blazers picking up, who I like and is pretty versatile, Norman Powell. They traded Gary Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood the other way to the Toronto Raptors. I think that was – I don't mind Norman Powell. I think he's decent, I guess, to be – or at least a bigger fish that was on the trade deadline except for Oladipo. That'll work for them.
Look, yeah, he's a more than solid player. You see that – The few times that this year that Toronto have needed a little bit of punch while they haven't had Pascal Siakam or Kyle Lowry this year, Norman Powell stepped up to the plate. So he's got that potential. He's a streaky sort of shooter. But yeah, he should definitely fit in with what they're doing there at Portland. Whether or not he comes off the bench, you know, they're, like you said, you know, they've taken away Rodney Hood and Gary Trent Jr. So I don't know. I'd sort of not the biggest fan of it just youth wise, because I think Gary Trent Jr. Has got a lot of potential as a young superstar, or, you know, as a young budding superstar, and he's got that potential there. But you know what you're getting with Norman Powell, and Portland are, I guess, sort of on that fringe of the top four in the Western Conference, and they're only a couple of games out. They're only like two games out, or game and a half out of the four seed. Yeah. By your flailing Lakers. So, you know, yeah, they're looking to sort of push themselves up the standings a little bit and wanting to get at least sort of one, maybe two series that'll be a home court advantage, which in this day, or, you know, in this season, who's to know what home court advantage is even going to be, because there's not going to be a whole lot of fans in the stands.
Next trade was a couple of veteran sort of players, depending if you want to look at it, but at least for one side, veteran point guard Rajon Rondo went back to LA in a trade, an apparent, obviously, fail from the Hawks, and they picked up Lou Williams.
This trade stunned me.
I don't know.
I think it was just the Lou Williams part. This trade just totally knocked me for six. When I seen it, it's just like that's. That's not right. Where's the value in that? What are the Clippers doing? Like, they're getting rid of their best bench scorer, and they're going to add Rajon Rondo. I guess they sort of seen what he'd done for the Lakers last year, and
that's it.
I guess he was sort of being wasted in Atlanta, so that they've gone and tried to pick him up as a bit of point guard backup. But now you're losing some scoring punch off the bench now for the Clippers.
Yeah, but. But the last 2 years, Lou Williams didn't have the best postseason as well. So that's literally what you just said then. Lou Williams wasn't great last year and the year before postseason in the playoffs. I think it's exactly what you just said. Rondo was good in the playoffs last year, and they just went, okay,
Even the year before with New Orleans, he was terrific in the playoffs.
I personally think it's a great for the Hawks. I thought that kind of money that they gave Rondo was ridiculous, to be completely honest. I mean, he got that money off winning for the Lakers. They realized,
absolutely cashed in.
And they exactly.
That was just a strange move, him going to Atlanta. Like, that just didn't make any sense. But it was just they've offered me the biggest contract. Like, let's just grab a little bit of cash. Yeah, towards the end of the career, and now look what it's parlayed itself into. He's going back to LA.
Exactly what you just said then. I think it's clearly for playoff presence, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And to say, like, you know, Atlanta had been on the slide for a little while, and sort of since the coach got fired and Nate McMillan's taken over, and before and after the All-Star break, they've won seven in a row. So yeah. It's whether or not you would just want to see that as coincidence or not, I'm not 100% sure. But now they've got a walking bucket in Lou Williams, so, you know, I don't think scoring was ever really a problem for them. But yeah, now they've got if they want to start running, you know, the backcourt of Trae Young and Lou Williams, man, like, you know, that's not the most dynamic. You know, if you look at backcourts that are getting around, you know, you think of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, you know what I mean? Like, but still, that's a high powered backcourt.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Exactly. I don't mind it. I mean, I like it for the Hawks. I don't know about the Clippers, but look, who knows? I mean, clearly, their own involvement doesn't care about money. So, money's no object, I should say, to him. So, no. And it's going to be interesting next year, because you've still got the one superstar Paul George has re-signed that's still up in the air. You don't know what he's going to do next year. So
no, exactly. Nobody knows what the hell Kawhi Leonard's going to do. So if he's sort of, whether or not he's just going to be sort of that mercenary for hire and go, oh, well, didn't work out here, the time to shift on to the next team.
The next trade was that sort of big one you mentioned, Oladipo. He was traded to the Miami Heat for Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and a 2022 pick swap. which I guess effectively, if you're really looking at it, ended the Raptors completely not trading Kyle Lowry away, which we'll talk about people that didn't get traded away later. What do you think with Oladipo going to the Heat?
Like I said, you know, there was a few teams that were in on the Oladipo sweepstakes. You know, obviously not everybody was gonna win that, but yeah, like I said, the Knicks were definitely all in because they've got plenty of disposable salary out there to sort of be able to pay him as an extension. I think the Heat have got a little bit of cap room. I guess they probably just want to get him in the building and sort of see, you know, have a look at the culture here and have a look what we can build. You know, with some of our young superstars. So it's, I mean, who does he unseat there, like, as, you know, as their backcourt? Do you know what I mean? Does he come off the bench to start with and then sort of make his way into the starting side? You know, you've got Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, sort of guys like that. You've also got Goran Dragic that comes off the bench. So they've got a plethora of guards there. But yeah. I think it would be a matter of that he will come into the starting side. I think it would shunt somebody like Duncan Robinson to the bench.
So. I think so. I mean, it's so funny, Oladipo. That's his third team he's traded to this year. He was a former All Star. His name was mentioned in, you know, that great season he had for the Pacers in first team NBA. So, oh my God! I mean, he had that
injuries,
injury.
Injuries can do that, and especially when you have those not so much problems, but when you have those issues with your rehab and it's not, you know, not responding to treatment as like their medical team had thought, and then it takes him a little bit longer to come back, and then he sort of, yeah, he was a little bit apprehensive to go into Orlando last year and play in the playoffs, and then he didn't end up playing, and then, you know, I guess his contract and his potential there still has value. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, why a lot of teams are sort of shipping him around a little bit. I guess Houston tried to get as much as what they could for him, which is not going on this deal, which they got, you know, F all for him, honestly. I don't know why they couldn't just try and stick that out with John Wall and Oladipo. I have no idea why they gave DeMarcus Cousins the brush. I think they could. Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins looked like, to me, where's he at the moment?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what they're doing. So basically what they're saying is with Harden, like, I know there's a couple of firsts involved and all that, but Harden, you know, they really got out of Harden what they just got then. Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley.
Yeah, and that's nothing.
Ridiculous. I know. So I don't know what Houston's doing. That's very perplexing.
Well, I know what Houston's doing besides the fact losing 20 in a row and then winning a game and then going back to two more losses again. So I think, Houston, it's that's a scary situation of what's happening there, especially in a market in the NBA that's fairly large. Like Houston is one of like the five biggest cities in America. So for a big market like that to be on pretty much the total tank, and what do you think then if you're John Wall? It's just like, okay, is this going to be my team now? What is this management team and this ownership doing here? You know, how are we going to be able to attract stars? You know, he's the guy. Yeah, who wants to go play with John Wall? Like that's where it's at.
No, I'm laughing because
that's going to be their talking point and their pitch to players. Oh, who have you got to play with there? Oh yeah, we've got John Wall and John Wall's playing well this year, and he's come back from that. Do you know what I mean? Like, where else is your pitch? Like Eric Gordon seems very disgruntled there at the moment, especially with the way that they're going. Wow. I think he's absolutely, I don't give a shit what anybody says, he's absolutely turning into the Eric Gordon disgruntled that he was at for 4 years in New Orleans, coming up with all sorts of excuses and little petty injuries and go, oh, my big toe's a bit sore, can't play this time. That's the kind of crap that he was pulling in New Orleans because he absolutely did not want to be there. he was going, oh, my ring finger, oh, my left hand, my non-shooting hand, it's sore, I'm going to have to miss a month. Like, you know, just coming up with BS excuses to not be on that team to go, hey, this isn't my problem, I'm not playing.
And in fairness to him, I suppose, everybody else has left. He just probably wants to leave too. So.
Oh, absolutely. But let's see, he had a little bit of a career resurgence there in Houston. He was playing really well, you know, when they had Westbrook there and CP3 there along with James Harden. Like, he had a career resurgence. He was a, he was a deadly three-point shooter. And now all of a sudden they've gone into the doghouse, and he's just like, eh, screw this. I don't want to be here anymore.
I'm laughing because it's probably it's the same thing that's happening there is happening across the road, so to speak, at the Astrodome. The Houston NBA team like seem to don't know who they're buying, and then the Texans are just buying everybody on free agency. So I don't know what the hell's going on in Houston.
Exactly.
Anyway, we didn't mention. I mean, this was this before the deadline. I just wanted to see get your quick thoughts on it. You know, just speaking of Houston, PJ Tucker going to Milwaukee Bucks and his 50,000 suitcases of collection of shoes. Because that guy collects shoes.
He would have had to get a container just for his shoes.
I was watching a meme where just like the massive suitcases and there's about 20 people just walking along with them. He's got a beautiful collection of shoes. If you ever Google it.
He's a sneaker fanatic.
I mean, we don't need to go into it much, but I don't mind, I guess, that for the Bucks, just to add that sort of a little bit of depth on the five.
Yeah, veteran, small ball five, one of the best one of the best corner three shooters, in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, all the same sort of thing, stretch that floor a little bit. I think we'll definitely help Milwaukee. You know, it's not one of those earth shattering deals. I guess Houston has sort of come out and wanted to do right, I guess, by a guy that's sort of stuck with them for a little while now. Through the good times. So yeah, they've shunted him off to the Bucks there. But I didn't actually mind that deal.
No. You mentioned him before, Daniel Theis, getting traded to the Chicago Bulls for Mo Wagner.
Mo Wagner.
Boston accent. Them trying to say Mo Wagner is just gonna be fucking insane.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be terrific in Boston.
There's not much. I mean, that's Mo was on the Wizards, so he's got traded, on deadline day twice. So that was interesting. But
he's being tossed around like a bag of Skittles at the moment too.
While Mo's at the Celtics, this plays into them looking in heavily into Andre Drummond. And LaMarcus Aldridge, but we'll talk about that later, at least for the center position.
Yeah, that's right.
I
think just the one more deal. I think that was sort of not so much significant, but we all knew that the writing was on the wall. Was the Pels dealing JJ Redick and Nico Melli to the not far, just over the border, just to Dallas, and not getting really anything back in return.
Uh-huh.
Two guys that were basically out of the rotation there. In Dallas, in James Johnson and Wes Nwundu. Just getting two non-rotational guys. I have no idea how the Pelicans will sort of integrate them into the rotation. Them obviously losing JJ Redick is a bitter blow, I think, for the Pels, but a great pickup there for Dallas. And I guess sort of to fill that void they were looking for when they sort of didn't pay Seth Curry, I guess, what he wanted to. So he ended up going to Philadelphia. So I guess sort of that veteran presence as well.
Yeah.
There for Dallas. But, getting a 3-point shooter back in return is going to bode well for them, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like you mentioned it before, the Seth Curry going to the 76ers and God, his name's left me just to show you how I guess regressed he's gone. That who did they pick up the other way, the Mavs from the Sixers? He was their Miami guard. He had that one good season.
Did they get Wesley Johnson? Was it Wesley Johnson?
No, it was oh my God, it's left me now. I'm gonna have to Google it. Is it basically what I'm sort of saying? And well, they're playing each other now, the Pels and the Mavericks. That's interesting. Is he in the starting lineup? That's JJ. That'd be awesome.
It could be.
Josh Richardson. That's who it was. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that clearly that's not working at all. That hasn't worked at all for them. So yeah, I don't mind. JJ Redick can still shoot a ball at the end of the day. Literally.
No, even this last month or so, you know, Redick's been shooting 45% from 3-point.
Yeah.
In limited minutes because, the Pelicans sort of had it in their mind that he was going to be a person that was going to be moved around this time of the year. So they were sort of limiting what he was doing, but also sort of just getting himself out there enough to show, hey, you know, to show teams that, hey, this guy can still play. You know, even though he had an absolutely rotten start to the season, but yeah, he's actually starting to shoot fairly well, and it looks like that Johnson and Nwundu are actually on the Pelicans roster at the moment, and
yeah,
just have through JJ Redick does not seem to be there in Dallas at the moment. So
his name's right down the bottom, but I don't think he mightn't play today. So I'd be surprised if he does.
My box score, I've got Nico Melli there. That's it. So
yeah,
it doesn't look like either that Kristaps Porzingis is going to play in this game either. So anyway, we're getting away from what we're talking about.
Well, that was the trades. Who, if we look at the winners and losers of that trade deadline, what were your takeaways?
Look, I thought Boston and Miami were fairly big winners, so to speak. You know, we sort of mentioned it there before that Boston sort of have got some much needed depth with Evan Fournier and basically giving up a couple of bags of chips to get him. So at the end of his contract. So whether or not they can sort of pitch to him, hey, hang around. We're building something good here and he can be a good sort of complimentary piece there off the bench. And, I thought Miami scoring Victor Oladipo, especially after the start of the season that they had. You know, they had a lot of outages with COVID and things like that. So, I think throughout, there was the first 20 games, I think, of the season, the Heat had 15 different starting lineups. So, team continuity there was a big thing to start the year, but they're actually starting to pull it together a little bit now. So, for them to pick up Oladipo, I think, is massive.
I agree. I also put Chicago Bulls in as a winners. I think I honestly think they're building sort of nicely. They're 19-24. Yes, they're in the East. So 19-24 isn't that as bad as you think.
No.
I don't know. I like it. You know, they clearly all in on Zach LaVine. I don't mind like they're playing the Spurs right now and their lineups. Vucevic in the five. You've got LaVine, Patrick Williams, he's playing pretty good this year. Sadaransky is your point guard, and then Lauri Markkanen obviously is your forward who didn't move. They've got Thad Young on the bench, Kobe White's on the bench. They're not too bad. I think they could sort of make a little bit of a push. I don't know if they're going to make noise. Don't get me wrong, but
besides the fact that they're absolutely getting blasted by the Spurs right now.
Yeah, but that's okay. The Spurs, I don't. Well, we'll talk about the Spurs later. The Spurs, yeah. I mean, they. I don't know what. Well, except for career resurgence for DeMar DeRozan, that's all I'm putting that down to. But I don't know. I thought that wasn't. You know, they didn't have to give up a lot to get a star player. I wouldn't say a superstar, but a star player because they'll be in
that's
that.
That's right. He's a two-time All-Star. I mean, you're looking at resume and you're looking at numbers. I think that's. Whether or not that's. Surely not Chicago. We're just looking at that and just say they can plug him in here and, hey, we're going to get those types of numbers there again. Obviously, they've got LaVine there as well. He's going to be your main sort of focal point of the offense. But, you can see what Vucevic's potential is. You know, he's a 24 and 11 guy. So,
yeah.
that's a huge upgrade on the numbers that they were getting out of Wendell Carter.
Yeah, I agree. What about losers?
Look, obviously Orlando goes without saying that they're just dumping everybody.
Which is not really a losing. They've just decided where, that's it. Where
Yeah, I know, but it just doesn't come across to me very good that you just gone out there and just go, hey, three starters, see you later. What are you getting back for them? What are we getting back for them? Oh, we got Otto Porter Jr. and Wendell Carter. What else did we get back for them? Anyway, next question. Do you know what I mean? Just doesn't come across good to me. That's okay if they're getting terrific deals for them, if they're getting a lot of first round picks and sort of getting draft capital or, you know, semi-comparable players back, but they weren't getting that. They're just getting junk back.
They weren't going to. That's the thing. They weren't going to. Like, Aaron Gordon said he wanted to be traded. The Vucevic one threw everybody, to be completely honest. No,
exactly. It's right.
And Evan Fournier was just a contract dump. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying in terms of, yeah, they look, I mean, the team looked like losers, but at least they didn't sort of muck around and keep others. They blew it up pretty much all in one, well, literally a few hours. It wasn't even one day.
No, that's right, exactly.
It was like 2 hours they blew it up.
Exactly.
So.
I thought another team that didn't really sort of make a dip in this trade deadline that were very heavily rumored, and it may just be because where they reside, and that's the New York Knicks. Like, that they were heavily rumored in a lot of deals, and you know, when did they end up picking up? They ended up picking Terrence Ferguson and Vincent Piore, who they've waived. So they're trying to push themselves into the playoff picture for the first time in a while. And granted, okay, they're a game over 500 in the five slot, but they had the potential there to try and get somebody like an Oladipo or one of those better free agents around, or you know, one of those better you know, players that teams swing are trying man. To offload.
They needed a swingman. I'm surprised, like, you know, just a swingman like Oladipo, or you know, just that sort of wing presence. That's all I think they're just sort of missing at the moment. They're playing. I mean, full credit to them. They're playing well as they have in any other year. So,
no, and then right. They and might, like I said, you know, this late in the season, them to be, you know, above 500 and in the five slot in the East, you know, I'll be pushing this, you know, purely because there's money on the line. But this is Julius Randle. Like,
This is him, and okay, is
that what he can push you to a couple of games above 500? But in the East, that's all you need. And if you can make the playoffs, and especially if you can get a favorable matchup, you know, if you can get into the five or six spot, and sort of, I guess, avoid those top teams at the moment. Like, have a look at the resurgence of Charlotte at the moment. Like, Charlotte have just shot up the standings. Yeah, Charlotte are in the four spot at the moment. They're two games above 500. That could drastically change now, I guess, you know, if we want to sort of segue into, you know, well, I guess sort of your losers out of that. But, we'll, yeah, we've got a lot of injury news to sort of talk about.
Well, the only loser, and I just don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they're just going to wait and see on their two injuries. So probably is going to tie in well. But the Lakers, I kind of thought, and we'll mention players that kind of should have got traded and where they're staying. But I kind of thought they were in on the Kyle Lowry sweepstakes, so to speak, who didn't move at all, which is interesting. I guess they're possibly just going to wait for players that may get brought out soon. I just thought they could have picked
that's
up.
That's what they're waiting. They're, like waiting on the buy, they're waiting on the buyout market.
I don't know. Like, I mean, they got two players that are out. Like you just said, they're slipping pretty hard. If I'm looking at the games correctly, they could well slip to the play-in area. That's how quick they could go down. So
all you got to do to me, all you got to do is have a look at say a team like San Antonio. They've lost four on the trot. They were in the four spot. For a long time, entrenched in the four spot. Now they're in the eight spot and in danger of slipping out of there. You know, if Memphis and Golden State can sort of get their act together and keep sort of racking up some wins and push San Antonio out, that's all it takes is a three or four game win, losing streak. And the Lakers had lost four in a row before they won yesterday. So it's a slippery slope and it's not going to take long. You know, there's a lot of jostling for position in the Western Conference.
I just wanted to mention just the first for the Knicks. I didn't see as losers so much because I think, like you said, their team's pretty good, and I think they if they keep going the way their trajectory is, they could pick up a decent free agent next year and sort of have that attraction. And the first name that popped in my head was, because I don't think he's staying there, was Kawhi Leonard. Just imagine him in New York.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the delusion that all, you know, Knicks fans, I guess, sort of have out there, that they think they're going to go out there and get the gigantic free agent, and they don't. The best way for them to get stars and superstars is via trade, is to literally force them to go there and then say, hey, look at what we've got here. Like, it just hasn't been a major attractor.
It hasn't before, but they never played good before. So the way they're playing now could actually attract a free agent like Kawhi Leonard possibly. But
well, this is probably their best year in 5 or 6 seasons.
100%. We'll swing back later to the players that didn't get traded, but the injury toll, you know, that's segueing into that injury toll. My God, there's injuries everywhere. I mentioned just a couple of mine, like LeBron James has that high ankle sprain, and we already know Davis is out, but God, there's a list. And I'm saying not just regular players, but just stars and superstars.
Well, let's just sort of, I guess you could sort of run through just ones that we've had this year. And mm-hmm. the biggest one for me that came up from the start of the year is Klay Thompson.
He's
still gone. You've got guys like, you know, that aren't, you know, crazy superstars or anything like that, but, you know, you've had Jonathan Isaac and Jaren Jackson Jr. Have been out. You know, Thomas Bryant's been out. TJ Warren, we haven't seen him much a lot this year. You know, Kevin Love has been out. I think everybody forgets about Kevin Love, but he's been out for a long time. Then you had guys like CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell. And so I guess you sort of go into the more current ones now. Like you said, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Brooklyn are being very careful with Kevin Durant. And his hamstring.
Yeah.
I guess the one that sort of prompted all this was the LaMelo Ball fractured wrist.
Yeah.
Now I guess sort of the question I pose to you is, has he played enough games to be Rookie of the Year?
No, and I just dropped my microphone. That's it. No, only because
it's 40. He's 40. What? 41 games. It's only a 72-game season, so you know he's only going to miss 30 odd. But I still think that's too much.
Yeah, I mean, look at the name of the person last year who's on your side that they were talking about, who only played 20 or 30, 25 games. What did he play last year, Zion?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It wasn't even 30 games. It was That was ridiculous. Just lunacy, ridiculousness, just so they could try and get him the Rookie of the Year.
Did he get a vote? Dumb. No, he was. He was in the finals. He got vote.
Yeah, exactly. It was ridiculous. It wasn't a unanimous decision. One fool out there that was doing the Rookie of the Year voters voted for Zion Williamson. That whoever that person in the media, whoever they are, is an idiot. An absolute bona fide idiot and needs his credentials stripped off him immediately. That was ridiculous.
I think he deserves it, clearly.
Absolutely, he deserves it.
I think he hasn't had enough games, and I think Anthony Edwards isn't playing too bad. He's got a little bit of an upward trajectory at the moment. So, and if he finishes all the games, I think unfortunately, LaMelo, he'll probably get it.
That's right. You know, 41 games, it's just not enough. Like I think, you know, you sort of go back to Joel Embiid a few years ago and the amount of games that he played in his rookie season, and they wanted to give it to him and they couldn't. Just simply on the amount of games that he played in his rookie season.
Look at Joel Embiid and LeBron James now. They'll be back for the finals, but they're missing like 10 to 12 games. They've already jumped off the MVP, and now Jokic is the MVP favorite. Just to put it in perspective. I think he unfortunately hasn't played enough games, and that's not his fault. Clearly, it's not his fault, but and they were going so well too, like you just mentioned it halfway through.
They have just flown up the standings.
Yeah.
And now with him gone, it's showtime in Charlotte. Yeah. Like he's just bringing that edge, that little bit of flair to the Charlotte Hornets that they haven't seen since Baron Davis.
And everyone was plus the Gordon Hayward free agency move, who everyone was bagging for the lunacy of the price, and then it's ended up being pretty valuable.
It's ended up being a good move, but I think now. Yeah, they've lost LaMelo. I think that sort of that'll put the brakes on, I think, a little bit. Hopefully they can sort of have enough consistent play from the rest of the guys there that they can keep a playoff run alive, and maybe extend their season a little bit and hope that LaMelo Ball can sort of come back for a bit of a playoff push. But all reports are sort of saying that he is done for the rest of the season, with a fractured wrist. How long it'll, if it takes him, 4 weeks to sort of come back from then, which will be pushing around playoff time. And then if Charlotte is still in the mix and still there, unless they just completely fall off the map, then hopefully they can, have him back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I guess that's just a matter of how well he recovers from that. And let's not forget that he had an injury when he was over here. I can't remember if it was a knee injury over here when he was playing for the Illawarra Hawks. So that's not a terrific sign for him to be getting injured and missing as many games as what he is so early in his career. And not to say that he can't turn it around, but that's not 2 years in a row now that he's missed significant time now with an injury.
Injuries happen. That's pretty much the way it's going to be. It's just an interesting dynamic of the amount of stars that have been out throughout this year. Some have come back, but it's very, very very interesting considering they've played less games.
It's a superstar-driven league, and a lot of teams are banking on these superstars to be there and be healthy, like your Lakers. I messaged you before, without AD and LeBron, that's a pretty ordinary roster.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We, I don't know. It's we're on a slope now.
It could be in just an absolute free fall. At the moment, they need a lot of different guys there to step up. None more than Kyle Kuzma. This is his time to shine. Yep. This is his time while these guys are out to be putting up 20, 25 plus a night.
Which he's done before. He has done before. So there's no reason why he can't do it again.
No, absolutely not.
The thing, just scaling back to the trades, the couple of players that didn't get traded, and just because you mentioned his brother, your boy Lonzo, who's having his best season ever, didn't get traded at all. So does that mean that the Pelicans, because he'll enter restricted free agency, and his trajectory at the moment, he's going to get a pretty decent sort of contract. Does that mean that they're are they in for him to re-sign him? Or because they didn't get anything to trade for him, or they didn't trade, but I'm just curious.
I'm sure that they were fielding offers because he was another one of those guys, obviously, that was rumored to be on the shift. And whether or not New Orleans, with the deals that were being thrown at them, they're just like, we're going to take a punt on him in restricted free agency and see what other teams will offer and whether or not that they'll be able to match that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the deals weren't good enough for them by all accounts.
Well, the interesting thing is I just didn't hear any, at least with these other ones, you heard names and that going around, but no team sort of said, except for Chicago Bulls. There was the only one that I heard that
Chicago and the Knicks. Chicago and the New York Knicks were definitely, definitely interested.
But I think they see value in him. I personally like him with Zion. I think him and Zion are working very, very well together.
And I think that's going to be the talking point and the focal point of a deal that will be done with Lonzo is look at the chemistry that you guys can strike up. He's unbelievably quick. Like him in transition and him on the fast break, he is lightning.
He's getting
more consistent from his three.
Passing. His passing is his vision in passing I've never seen for a very long time. He's not as flashy
as the Mello as his younger brother, but he's still got amazing court vision.
And he doesn't need the hand in his ball, which is good. I like those kind of players that don't have to have the hand in the ball to score. He doesn't want the hand in his ball, if you know what I mean. Because you can't.
He's getting a little bit more consistent. Over the last few years, he's been a streaky shooter. He's pushing 40% from threes now. He's averaging, 14 points, like 6 assists, 7 assists. I think those assist numbers could go up a little bit. It's more of a catch-and-shoot type deal, and I think that will come a bit better when they can stretch the floor a little bit better. I still think New Orleans are in desperate need of another shooter to really try and stretch that floor out, so Zion, and Zion is nearly unstoppable underneath the bucket. So he's still getting. Yeah, imagine if they can make it easier on him for him to get in and around the hoop. So
yeah, exactly.
It's that's the thing is to be able to spread spread the floor more consistently, and Lonzo is definitely helping that. Like even Brandon Ingram shooting 38% from three. Like he's not a slouch at the moment. So they've got the potential to do that there. They just don't have enough of it because you have to be able to have guys there, at least three shooters out there that you can just murder teams when they go and double and triple team Zion down on the block. And he has to know that as well, that he has to be able to have the ability to kick back out, know when the shot isn't on. And yes, he is, like you said, he shoots an amazing percentage around the hoop, but you got to go with what's working. And this is sort of working at the moment consistency are all around, especially when it comes to Lonzo. But I think that's going to be their pitch to him is have a look at the chemistry that you can work up with this guy and Brandon Ingram. And you're going to be the focal point of the, you're going to be one of the big threes in this team. Yeah. You're going to be one of the guys.
Yeah. Another player that didn't get traded on the trade deadline is Kyle Lowry. His name was everywhere. So the two teams that stood out that his name was everywhere was the 76ers and the Miami Heat. Honestly, think that and this is probably going back on Toronto. I think that $30 million one-year deal. I think $30 million was too much, and that literally, I think that's why it didn't work out. That was probably too much for teams to sort of put a package together.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. For teams to try and absorb that salary hit, and like you said, to try and package up a deal, comparable deal, and that would most likely could be two players.
Yeah.
And whether or not teams wanted to throw draft picks at them as well, but that's a very steep price to pay for Kyle Lowry at the moment.
And that's right. And they had names like with Miami, they had names like your boy Tyler Hero. Anyway, I think they wanted back, and it was good for Miami not to trade him because I don't think that was going to happen. So.
Miami have absolutely got no desire in trading Tyler Hero unless it's for another dynamic young player. They are absolutely all in on Tyler Hero. So it's going to have to be a monumental deal to pry Tyler Hero away from the Heat. All in with him.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The other couple that didn't get traded and it looks like they're heading towards buyout were LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond. I guess the big men just weren't real trade value at the end of the day. No one was going to go for Drummond just being on the final year of his contract except for the salary sort of dump of it. Rid of probably a couple of years.
And look, if Drummond was in a different situation where he had a year and a half left or 2 years and a half left on his deal, he's absolutely valuable. Absolutely valuable. But because,
I think he's,
like you said, he's on his last legs now with this deal. We'll just go to the buyout market and then we'll pick him up for cheap. So I think that's the way that they go. He is absolutely valuable to a team. An unbelievable rebounder the last 5 years.
It'd be a bit of a stat chaser too. Can be a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit comparable to Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit. Yeah, he was with a bad Pistons team. Somebody's got to get the points there, haven't they?
Oh, I understand that. Yeah, look, he seems to be, like a good stats player on a bad
Jeremy
team.
Grant now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And LaMarcus Aldridge, who, I mean, going off what I'm reading in the last sort of hour or so, he said he was, they mutually sort of, him and the Spurs mutually agreed to buy out anyway, that they're going to go, he's going to go to the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, of course he's going to the Nets. Like, who isn't going to the Nets? Like, honestly, like they're just the only thing that I see that will be a problem there with the Nets is going to be team chemistry. Is trying to fit, is Steve Nash going to be able to fit all these personalities together? Take ego aside. Let's put everyone's ego, put them in a little box and, chain it up and let's throw it in the Hudson River and let's just knuckle down and let's get a championship. But he's got three enigmatic players that were already on the team in KD, Kyrie and James Harden. And, they've obviously added Blake Griffin and now they're going to add LaMarcus Aldridge. They got a plethora of power forward. They're turning into the Knicks.
Yeah. They are, but
they're turning into the Knicks. They've got six power forwards now. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm saying that LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that's from comparing him to the other pickup that they did in Blake Griffin. LaMarcus Aldridge is a pretty an all rounder better player. He is a five.
Oh, absolutely. He's got one of the best mid range games going around. Like even at his age, like he's unreal.
He's not selfish at all. They're paying $3.60 at the moment on Sportsbet to win. So I think that's probably pretty good value, really, if you put a hundy on there.
Well, that's right. Stephen A. Smith has sort of come out and blasting the Nets a little bit. They're trying to steal a championship. So I go back a long time. I go back to this is what the Lakers tried to do. That's at the start of the century and tried to get all these guys, trying to get Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Glenn Rice and guys like that to come in and basically buy themselves a championship in like 2003 or 2004. And they got waxed by the Pistons. So it you know what I mean? Like this is what Brooklyn is turning into. They're just going, hey, let's get all the superstars that we can get. Come on in. We're going to buy ourselves a championship here. The Lakers did that. And it essentially ended them. It ended them. That loss to the Pistons in the finals, in what it was a 2003-2004, that ended the Lakers dynasty. That ended it.
Yeah, that we're on a very, very slippery slope then. Yeah, no, I do remember that. Yeah, because that was, No, I agree. And
I'm talking that's a long time ago, but they lost to a team that they absolutely had no right to lose to, but they had the team chemistry there. They just had all the right things going for them, and Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, Big Ben Wallace, like that. They had the guys there that could take on the Lakers, and the Lakers couldn't put ego aside. They're just going, hey, we just won three straight here.
Well, think of the coach of the Nets. Him and Malone and Gary Payton all went there to sort of, they brought a championship, the Lakers. So, and none of them got one. Unfortunately, not for Karl Malone. I'm just going way back. But Steve Nash never got a championship there. They were buying.
No, that's right. Yeah, they had him and Dwight Howard. They tried to do the same thing not that long ago. Yeah, him and Dwight Howard exactly went there. Right. They both got hurt. Yeah.
So, and they're trying to do the same thing now because it looks like they're a front runner for Andre Drummond. I don't know.
Where the hell's he going to fit? Like, good
I don't
God.
Know. I don't know. I mean, Marc Gasol's pretty inconsistent this year because didn't he have a free fall from Toronto, and even Montrezl Harrell to an aspect. But look, with Anthony Davis out at the moment, and at least till the postseason, it's not the worst pickup in the world. That's all I can say. It's not the worst. So, I don't know. What do you think of? Do you like these buyouts? That was sort of. I wanted to sort of ask you that. Do you really like these buyouts? I mean, at the end of the day, teams can do what they want.
Not necessarily. I'm not the biggest fan of them, but if they're allowed, then Yeah, and like you said, you know, if they're coming to the end of their their tenure with the team, and you know, they want to get bought out, and like you said, we sort of said off the top that it's, you know, player empowerment now, and if they feel that they feel that they're not being used properly, or that they just want out of the team, then you know, they can essentially, if it depends on how big a superstar you are, you can force your way out.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're not hog tying a person to a team that they don't really want to play for, and they're not going anywhere with, like, you know, with Drummond at the Cavs, like, they're going nowhere. So you may as well you may as well just release him and put him in and give him the opportunity to get himself into a better situation.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just the way that the league is now. Like, there's nothing. I don't think that the league officers and executives there and Adam Silver are going to be able to stop this. But if teams are willing to buy them out, to buy their contract out, then essentially the contract is being fulfilled monetarily.
Yeah.
And they're getting their money out of it. It's just not being played out, time wise. But that's, I mean, if teams are willing to buy them out and players are getting their money, not that I don't see a problem with it. It's something that you're never going to be able to stop.
No, I agree. Last thing we'll finish on was just a couple of milestones that we hit over the last couple of weeks.
Look, I thought it was just some stuff that was worth mentioning. I think just over the last 2 weeks or so, we've had some big name players being passed on all time lists. Carmelo Anthony has gone past the Dream, Hakeem Olajuwon, into 11th all time on the scoring list. I thought that was fairly big, just because, you know, as much as I love Carmelo Anthony, you know, you also love Hakeem Olajuwon from back in the day. So I thought that was big. And also, James Harden went past Larry Bird for 34th on the all time scorers list over the last little while as well. So, congrats to those guys. And those lists are always going to be constantly changing. With the way that the league is at the moment, you know, an unbelievably high-powered scoring league. The one that sort of I thought struck the biggest chord with me, though, was Chris Paul joining only a very elite club in only five other players. So he becomes the sixth player in NBA history to reach 10,000 assists, which is just – that's massive. And, you know, it's the who's who, of point guards – in the league that are on that list. So you've got Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Mark Jackson, and I guess the guy that tops the list and tops the list by a long way.
And John Stockton. One's ever going to catch him, John Stockton.
That's a tall task John Stockton.
I remember this sort of come up, and I was scaling through, and then I went, no one's catching John Stockton.
He's on what, 12,000 assists.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So he's
37. So there's no chance there. John Stockton is, yeah, my God. Poor him and Karl Malone. I don't think people realize how good those two player tandem were. They were so good.
Oh no, absolutely. And I guess it's just one of those situations where they were denied a championship by the Bulls, and the Bulls did that to a lot of teams.
Bulls did that to a lot of teams. They're the Phoenix Suns, same sort of thing.
That's right, Phoenix Suns. They had the reigning MVP in Charles Barkley. He couldn't get past them. Teams that were in the East, you know, Reggie Miller, Jalen Rose, Chris Mullin led. Indiana Pacers. You know, that they stopped those guys from getting a championship. They stopped the Knicks. Yeah, so did Houston, but you know, they stopped the Knicks from getting a championship. You know, they stopped Patrick Ewing getting a ring. They pulled up a lot of teams, and it's the same sort of situation as now. Like, you know, LeBron is stopping a lot of, you know, great players from getting rings, and right. that's just the way of the league, man. That's just the way that it goes.
I get it. That's the way it goes. Kudos to Chris Paul. Really, kudos to Chris Paul, who seems to be, doesn't matter where he goes, just seems to be that player that can make a team better. Even if it's for 1 or 2 years, he still makes that team better because he's making the Suns better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought just thinking about it before we finish up, I thought, I don't have them as a loser, but I thought they might have dipped their toes a little bit in the trade market. Just to sort of sniff Phoenix. Out that. What'd you think? Yeah, Phoenix. I'll put this trade to you.
I think they're going along pretty well as they are.
I think they are as well, but I'm just sort of worried about...
If they truly believe in this roster, then there's no real need to make any splash in this trade deadline.
I'm just concerned. Well, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see how they are in the postseason. But I was just concerned how DeAndre Ayton will go in postseason. He's the only one that sort of concerns me. But he's had no postseason experience. So
no, that's right. And that's what it all comes down to is postseason success.
Would you, if you're both sides, would you? I just, because when I seen his name and I was trying to think, you know, who they could pair with each other and just a quick swap for swap trade, would you like to trade either way for DeAndre Ayton for Karl Anthony Towns? Just a straight swap.
I could handle that.
For both ways?
Both ways.
Yeah.
Because I don't think DeAndre Ayton isn't as a well-rounded scorer as what Karl Anthony Towns is, but you know Karl Anthony Towns has been in the league for a couple more years as well. So
correct.
Who's to say that Ayton couldn't develop, you know, a little bit more sort of offensive range? But you know, I guess sort of comparable rebounders. You know, they're big guys. I think Ayton needs to develop. A 3-point shot, which mm-hmm. I don't think he's really got at the moment. And we all know that Karl Anthony Towns loves to jack himself a 3 or 5. So,
I think that would be
a fairly comparable deal with it, you know, yeah. without any picks or any other players. I think that would be a fairly fair deal, so to say.
And aren't Booker and Towns, that's why I put it together, aren't they former uni buddies?
Yeah, that would be former University of Kentucky members.
Kentucky
so.
Buddies, yeah, I thought so. They were on the same. They were literally on the same team too, if I remember correctly. I think they were close. But yeah, okay. I just thought they might have
missed each other by a year.
Not so much. Yeah, I thought they wanted to dip their toe a little bit, but yeah, obviously they have faith in their team and they're doing well. I mean, it's you know they are doing well, so. And Booker seems to be, he started slow, but he seems to be on the way up.
No, absolutely. And that just goes with team chemistry, I guess, as well, you know, sort of integrating CP3 into the offense. But it shouldn't really take that long. You know, Chris Paul's a very unselfish player, you know, obviously with getting, you know, we're just racking up 10,000 assists. And okay, he's been in the league for a while, but he wasn't one of those one and done players as well. He had a couple of years at Wake Forest before he was drafted by the then New Orleans Hornets. So, but yeah, that's the part of it. It's the non-selfishness. Yeah. It's getting other people involved, and that's what he's been a master at his whole career.
Yes, he has.
Well, he took guys like Peja Stojakovic, Tyson Chandler, and David West. You know, within an inch of a Western Conference Finals, if they didn't get beaten by San Antonio, who ended up being the champions in that year. This is when he was in New Orleans. So yeah, that's shows how much he can elevate a team and certain players around him. When you rattle off names like Tyson Chandler was his alley-oop guy, and guys like David West and Peja Stojakovic was well past it, but. You know, they got the job done, and it's one of the best seasons in Hornets franchise history that they sort of did that with those types of players.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, clearly that's why we mentioned it before, but the Lakers picked him up on that trade that did get reneged. We would have won. He would have won a championship.
He probably most likely would have got himself a ring there, but yeah, you know, like we sort of said before, it's you know sort of before we started recording, that was a totally different situation. That A, it's a trade, B, it was to me it was totally not fair the amount of compensation that the Hornets were getting back for Chris Paul, and C, the Hornets were essentially in administration and were being run by the NBA. Because they didn't have an owner.
Yeah.
So a deal like that just simply was a conflict of interest, and they just couldn't they couldn't get, the NBA couldn't go down that path.
No, I get it. You know, I totally get it. I do get it. But he could be, you know, he still could win a championship, but he could be just one of those unlucky players that we've mentioned a couple before that just will have a very good Hall of Fame career, but not win a title. So
all time greats that don't get a ring, and the two that always pop off the top of my head is Karl Malone and Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, yeah, they're the two glaring two, and I put Stockton with Malone, same sort of thing. But yeah,
no, that's right, yeah, John Stockton, yeah. Patrick yeah. Ewing, like all time greats, absolute all time greats that just couldn't quite get over the hump, you know, whether they were just in. Not so much the wrong situation, but coming up against the wrong guys and
the wrong guy.
The wrong guys. That's right. They're just absolute killers.
Coming up against one Michael Jordan. But anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. He stopped a lot of people getting rings. Another one, Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. That's a big name.
Yeah. Very. Well,
that'll do it for this NBA pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. Facebook's always Final Play Podcast, which trade deadline, Miles was going crazy on trade deadline, putting them up and literally every sort of half an hour I woke up and it was lit up. So and that's also
I was already awake, so
yeah, you must have been. What the hell is he doing this at 2 a.m? Okay, yeah, cool. And yeah, obviously all the sports sort of that we put on there, the NBA, the NFL, and the NRL. You can get all our pods everywhere, including Eureka, or I should say, I always say Eureka, but technically it's Gimco, gimko.com.au.
If you're in for your card breaks and stuff, there's still one up at the moment that they're sort of struggling to sell out a little bit. It's for the NFL, so obviously it's not the NBA or anything like that. But some good products there. There's still 14 spots remaining. It's only $50 a pop. So if you're keen on getting in on that break. Just go to gimco.com.au and then just click on the group breaks and it should be right up the top there. It's an NFL one, but it's kind of a cheapie, but some really nice products there, like Limiteds on there, Illusions, which I really like, both from this year 2020. So some big rookies there, Justin Herbert, Tua, Joe Burrow, big rookies like that are potential in that. So check that out if you want to get some nice cheap action in some group breaks and you're into your NFL. So just trying to help them trying to sell that out, because I'm in that and I want to see what we're going to get. I've actually shared it on the page as well, on our Facebook page. So if you scroll down past all the multiple free agent or the multiple deadline day deals. The Triple D, if you just scroll down past that, there's a link there to get onto the Gimco page, and that will take you straight to it, and you can purchase from there.
That'll do it this week. My name's Jason. The Nets, the Nets are just going to – I just looked at their starting lineup. The Nets are just going to – oh my God, they're gonna scare a lot of teams. I know it's a big long middle name, but too bad.
the reason that you're scared is that they're coming for your Lakers. So
of course they are.
Yeah, that's and like you said, you know, it is what it is. That's just what's happening at the moment. Like that seems to be the trendy thing and the place to be is Brooklyn at the moment. So. I guess we just have to sort of sit around and wait and see on what's going to happen. And, on Miles, nothing pleases me greatly than seeing the Lakers slide plumb.
you can't see hand gestures out there, but I'm giving him serious hand gestures.
There seems to be a finger being pointed in my direction.
And it's not the good one. So their top 10 is – this is the potential top 10, which will be their top 10. Harden – Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Durant, DeAndre. And then just on the bench, they've got Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, who's having a great season, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Nicholas Claxton. Jesus Christ.
And they still don't have Spencer Dinwiddie back.
No, no. Who's, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly right. Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, he won't be back this year, but Claxton, I just want to finish on Claxton. He's loving it. He just, every time I watch them, he just gets his free reins at dunks and just like, yeah, cool, I'm just going to dunk the hell out of it. No one else cares. No one else is like looking at what I'm doing, so I might as well do it. And he's just getting his free dunks.
Yeah, he loves it.
Claxton's loving it. It's so funny because he's got that bleach blonde hair and it just sticks out so much. Oh, it's hilarious.
Unbelievable. All right. So, yeah, we'll be doing an NRL pod very shortly as well. And, yeah, just the injuries that are mounting up in after this weekend so far is unbelievable. So I guess that'll be a talking point as well with our next NRL pod, which will be in the next couple of days. So watch out for that as well.
And I can't pick for crap, by the way, but that's
me neither. This
no, I don't think anybody could this year. This week, but. All right, have a good week, everyone.
Brutal.
See ya.
See ya.